Let us pray. Our Father, you are the creator of all things. We joyfully do come before you as we have just read to worship you, as the church of old did. And we thank you for your saving grace to us, that we know you now as your people, that you have covenanted with us to be our God and us your people. So Lord, continue to grow us in grace and to sanctify us as we'll have the preached word in a moment. Do not let that word go out and return void, but instead use it to sanctify us wholly. So Lord, we are as your creation and as your king over all things. We know that this is possible. And so we pray according to your character and your attributes that you would answer this prayer. We also pray for the needs of the congregation. We pray for our pregnant ladies, for Erica and Sarah and Michaela, and that they may continue healthy as the time is coming to meet their little ones face to face. Lord, may the labor and delivery go smoothly. May these children be born without any complications. May they be born healthy. May they eat well and sleep well. May mother and father have the energy and perseverance in these early days of infancy to care for them. We also pray, continue to pray for our families with newborns, and we thank you that you have heard our prayers for some of the difficulties of infants not eating and not sleeping well, but Lord, you have answered us, and you have blessed these families now with growing children that sleep more often and given reprieve to your people. As you have told us in your word, you give sleep to your beloved. We also pray, Lord, for a new meeting location as Valor is moving. And whatever that is, Lord, we pray that in your providence you may make us aware and that you would show us what it is we are to do, whether that is buying a property or renting elsewhere. But we do pray that wherever we end up, that we may have access to the building for the entirety of the day, for your worship, and that your word may go forth and be that you may be glorified every Lord's Day. Lord, we do thank you even for this day we've had so far, that we have been able to meet twice and to eat and fellowship together, and we thank you for your graciousness in this. And we do then pray for the hearing of your word as we consider the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. We ask that your Spirit would be at work, emboldening us in our own prayers, and that we may take this example that our Savior has given and pray it as well. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, please turn with me now to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And we'll start reading from verse 8, though I guess if you look ahead a little bit at 13b, something that may be in your Bibles that I'm not going to address in the sermon. Your Bible might say something to the effect of, the best and most ancient manuscripts do not contain the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. That's actually something debatable. I think it should be included in the Lord's Prayer. We're also a confessional a church that subscribes to the catechism. So as a minister, our catechisms say the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer needs to be included as well. But issues of New Testament textual criticism probably aren't most appropriate for a sermon. We've just ate. We're already sleepy enough. But if you do have questions about that, I did research enough to be able to discuss it. So, so we're not going to address that issue that many of you probably see in your Bibles. All right, Matthew 6, starting in verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. conclusion then of the Lord's Prayer. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer for many months now, petition by petition, the introduction, the preface, and now the conclusion. And we've seen though this is a short prayer, there's a lot implied in every petition. We're really praying for a lot more than what seems to be just simply written on the page. But now we ask the question, how can we be assured that God will answer these petitions we have just prayed for? How do we know God will answer the Lord's Prayer? And the answer is found in the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. God is able and willing to answer our petitions because His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we will see this answer worked out as God answers the Lord's Prayer in three sections, mainly taken from our larger catechism. It's the very last question and answer in the larger catechism. And the first section we'll deal with this afternoon is deals with making biblical arguments based on God's word and who God is. We've mentioned this idea quite often in the previous Psalms we've seen, that we pray according to what God has already promised us, and we know He will answer. We pray according to His character and know that He will do good to us as He is good. These are arguments that we bolster our prayers with. So our larger catechism says, the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teaches us to enforce our petitions with arguments, which are to be taken not from any worthiness in ourselves or any other creature, but from God. That is to say, when we pray, we make these arguments, and I hope you understand by arguments, I'm not saying we fight with God, but we're simply putting forth reasons that He would answer. But as we make these arguments, we do not pray, God, answer me because mine is the kingdom. Mine is the power. I have the glory. Rather, ours in prayer is, our estate is that of a helpless beggar looking to God for help. We don't expect God to answer our prayers because of our worthiness or because of some kind of self-righteousness, right? Saying, look how good I've been lately, God. Now will you give me a little something? But rather, we pray because God is worthy and is able to answer our prayers. So our argument is this, that we say, answer us, Lord, because only you can answer our petitions. Only you can give us daily bread. Only you can forgive us of our sins. Only you can protect us from evil. We know how poorly we've done with that on our own, right? How well have we protected ourselves from evil? Not well. How good have we been at getting God to forgive us of our sins? We haven't been good at that at all. Only because of God's glory, power, and kingdom is He willing then to answer our prayers and to grant these petitions we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. This is seen in a number of places in Scripture, some of the Apostle Paul's writings to the Romans, but Daniel really, in Daniel 9, gives us an excellent example of what we're talking about. Daniel 9, Daniel prays, he says, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments, O Lord, righteousness belongs to You. In that short portion, Daniel makes mention of God's mercy. Right? Answer me because I know You are merciful, Lord. He makes mention of His covenant, a covenant that God will not break. Right? Were our prayers to be heard on the basis of our covenant obedience, then they would not be heard. But like Daniel, we can pray that God would listen to us because He has covenanted with us and promised to always be our God, and we will always be His people. And so in His mercy, He will forgive us and restore us to Himself, and He will hear our prayers because He is the covenantal God who loves us with that steadfast covenantal love. And then Daniel bolsters his arguments, his prayers, continuing. He says, we do not present our supplications before You because of our righteous deeds, but because of Your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for Your own sake. My God, for Your city and Your people are called by Your name. So there, Daniel's quite explicit. Hear us, not for our sake, but for your sake, O Lord. Forgive us for your sake, O Lord, and not anything that we have done. So then we expect the Lord's prayer to be answered for God's sake, not ours. His is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. It is not ours, it is his. And because the kingdom, the power, and the glory are his, we can expect the six petitions to be answered. Secondly, our second point of our prayers being answered due to God's attributes. And so this pairs well with the kingdom, the power, and the glory. As our catechism says, we are ascribing to God alone eternal sovereignty, omnipotency, and glorious excellency. So it's sort of this kingdom sovereignty. He is king over all of creation. Something we saw earlier this day from Psalm 29. God is the king of the storm. He's the king over the flood. He is king over creation as a sovereign kingship. His omnipotency, right? He is the all-powerful one. His is the power. And then thirdly, he has the glorious excellency as his is the glory. So these attributes, they are implicit in God having the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And so we see his kingdom sovereignty. He is enthroned over all creation. So here we pray God's attribute, enforcing our petition for his kingdom to come. If he is king over all creation, surely he will bring to fruition his kingdom. Not a geopolitical kingdom. Instead, we are praying that Satan and his kingdom would be destroyed. We are praying that the kingdom that is already on the earth in the church would continue to make spiritual advancement around the world. And we are praying for the hastening of Christ's return to bring to fulfillment the kingdom that he has promised. And so we are assured God will answer this petition because his is the kingdom sovereignty. The early church father, John Chrysostom, reflecting on this, which yes, the early church father, John Chrysostom, had access to the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. All right. No New Testament textual criticism. But John Chrysostom, as he writes a commentary and reflects upon the conclusion, says, after having roused us to the struggle by the consideration of the enemy and entirely removed every apology for slothfulness, he again confirms and strengthens our mind by reminding us of the King whom we faithfully serve and by showing that he is more powerful than all. Thine, he says, is the kingdom and the power and the glory. If the kingdom is his, we have nothing to fear, there being none that can oppose it or wrest from him the government. When he says, thine is the kingdom, he shows that our antagonist is also subject to him. Although so far as God permits, he makes opposition, for he is one of the number of God's servants, though he belongs to the guilty and wicked. And he will not venture in a single instance to attack a fellow servant till he has received power to do so from the Lord of all. So Chrysostom shows our prayers will be answered for the kingdom to come because thine is the kingdom, which also means that we can rest in this petition and rest assured it will be answered as we pray it because God is king over all. We are also assured of an answer to prayer as we pray concerning God's power, his omnipotency. Jeremiah 32 tells us there is nothing too hard for you. Speaking to God. Well, that's a great reminder because we pray for a lot of hard things in the Lord's Prayer. We pray for very difficult things in this prayer, but nothing is too hard for God Almighty. We pray for him to forgive our debts. How is that possible apart from his power? We pray for deliverance from sin and Satan. I don't have the power to do that. You don't have the power to do that, but God alone has the omnipotency to deliver us. If it were up to us, we would just be drowning in sin and unforgiveness. If it were up to us, we would constantly indulge Satan and his temptations. But God has the power to answer this prayer, to answer our petitions. For example, concerning forgiveness, concerning temptation. He has the power to lead and to guide us in this life. And surely God's power is connected to the entirety of the Lord's Prayer. And is another reason we could take confidence it will be answered. And then the glory. We are assured that we will, that this prayer will be answered because His is the glory. Thine is the glory. God receives the glory for His works, including even answering our prayers. So we are then assured He will answer our prayer as we seek His glory, which is His. We are assured that He will answer this prayer because we do not seek our own glory when we pray, but we seek God's will. And so God will answer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We can be assured He will answer that petition because it is to His glory that all things exist, and His will be done, which brings about the praise of His glory through His will. So the second reason, overall, we are assured that God will answer our prayers is because His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And these truths are connected to the entirety of the Lord's Prayer, thus giving us encouragement as we acknowledge the Lord's Prayer coming to fruition. And then we end the prayer with amen. Amen, a Hebrew word, just meaning truly, right? Or what I have said is true. It's something Jesus says often, right? We read it in English, truly, truly, I say to you. Amen, amen, I say to you. It's a testimony of the confidence of our prayers, right? We don't pray kind of with our fingers crossed, just hoping and wishing God will answer. But no, we say amen because this is true. Truly, God will bring this about, this Lord's Prayer. So our larger catechism puts it, He is able and willing to help us. So we by faith are emboldened to plead with Him that He would, and quietly to rely upon Him, that He will fulfill our request and to testify this is our desire and assurance. We say amen. Right? And isn't this, this is how the entirety of the scriptures conclude, right? Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the amen functioning as a sort of closing signature in a letter, functioning as evidence that we are sincere in our prayers and our beliefs about who God is in our prayers. The amen signifies our reverence for God to conclude them with this solemn amen. So as we've said, we've come a long way in learning about the Lord's Prayer and what all we pray for as we pray these petitions, and we have reached its conclusion. So as we ask the question, how can we be assured that God will answer us when we pray the Lord's Prayer? The answer is God is able and willing to answer our petitions because His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But as we pray this prayer every week, and as we pray it maybe even at home, there's something of a warning here of not letting it become rote, but it must be prayed with sincerity, right? That's part of praying the amen, that it is a hearty amen we pray with for sincerity, but not letting this just become something we say. Thousands every Sunday, perhaps probably thousands every day, repeat these words just as some kind of form, as some magical incantation. But these people repeat it this way without any faith, without any hope that God actually will answer this prayer. Sadly, it's people that care nothing for God's glory, only their own. Nothing for God's kingdom, only their own. Nothing for God's power, only their own. And they think they are independent, but they are sinful and weak, and they are in danger. These things shouldn't be so, beloved. May we resolve that by God's help, as we do pray the Lord's Prayer every week, perhaps even daily, that our hearts would be in tune with our lips. How great it is we begin the Lord's Prayer, our Father. How happy we should be to be able to pray to our Father. And how glorious it is that we can pray through Christ our Savior, a heartfelt amen to all that the Lord's Prayer contains. Amen. Let us then go before God's throne ourselves in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this example of prayer put before us that our Savior has shown us. And we ask that as we pray it, we would bring to mind these petitions and all their implications. And that we would pray with them boldly, knowing that as yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, that you will bring about these petitions, that we can rest assured you will provide for us our daily bread and forgive us our sins and not lead us into temptation, Lord. So we then pray that we would be sincere in our prayers and that we would love and be happy to converse with you daily, to call you our Father, to pray in the name of Christ and by the power of the Spirit, Lord. Let this be a reality for us, and do not let us become jaded in saying the Lord's Prayer. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.